A few years earlier, she'd found that she could relieve her numbness by scratching herself with a razor blade. But she had become frightened when she found that she was cutting herself more and more deeply and more often to get relief. She had tried alcohol, too, but that reminded her of her dad and his out-of-control drinking, which made her feel disgusted with herself. So, instead, she played tennis, frantically, whenever she could. That made her feel alive. When I asked her about her past, Marilyn said she guessed that she must have had a happy childhood, but she could remember very little from before age 12. She told me she'd been a timid adolescent until she had a violent confrontation with her alcoholic father when she was 16 and ran away from home. She worked her way through community college and went on to get a degree in nursing without any help from her parents. She felt ashamed that during this time she'd slept around, which she described as looking for love in all the wrong places. As I often did with new patients, I asked her to draw a family portrait. And when I saw her drawing, I decided to go slowly. Clearly, Marilyn was harboring some terrible memories, but she could not allow herself to recognize what her own picture revealed. She had drawn a wild and terrified child, trapped in some kind of cage, and threatened not only by three nightmarish figures, one with no eyes, but also by a huge erect penis protruding into her space. And yet this woman said she must have had a happy childhood. As the poet W. H. Auden wrote, "Truth, like love and sleep, resents approaches that are too intense." I call this Auden's rule, and in keeping with it, I deliberately did not push Marilyn to tell me what she remembered. In fact, I've learned that it's not important for me to know every detail of a patient's trauma. What is critical is that the patients themselves learn to tolerate feeling what they feel and knowing what they know. This may take weeks or even years. I decided to start Marilyn's treatment by inviting her to join an established therapy group where she could find support and acceptance before facing the engine of her distrust, shame, and rage. As I expected, Marilyn arrived at the first group meeting looking terrified, much like the girl in her family portrait. She was withdrawn and did not reach out to anybody. I'd chosen this group for her because its members had always been helpful and accepting of new members who were too scared to talk. They knew from their own experience that unlocking secrets is a gradual process. But this time they surprised me, asking so many intrusive questions about Marilyn's love life that I recalled her drawing of the little girl under assault. It was almost as though Marilyn had unwittingly enlisted the group to repeat her traumatic past. I intervened to help her set some boundaries about what she'd talk about, and she began to settle in.